few days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine and ended up sharing what I was going to be talking about on this podcast. And he made a very unusual statement. He said, "This is either really powerful or really bad. So I have no idea what you're getting." But it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Peter and John were heading up to the temple to pray when a very strange thing happened. They ran into a man who was lame from birth, begging for alms. Now, there was nothing particularly strange about that, because the disabled and those who were very sick often had to resort to begging for alms in order to survive. It's what happened next that was very strange. And we read in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And the man was instantly healed." And again, that wasn't particularly strange, because for the past 3 years, Jesus had been healing the sick, casting out demons, and even raising people from the dead. It is how he was healed that is very strange, because it's very similar to a healing that would take place 1,500 years later in Germany. During the 1500s, Martin Luther had started the Protestant Reformation. He, as a Roman Catholic priest, he had initially tried to reform the Catholic Church, but in the end, because it refused to change, he ended up starting the Protestant Church. Luther claimed that the Bible was a person's final authority, not the church, and the man was saved by faith, not by buying an indulgence to fund a cathedral somewhere in Rome. But a strange thing happened in 1540 when Friedrich Myconius, an important co-worker for Martin Luther, came down with tuberculosis and was dying. He actually sent a letter to Martin Luther telling him that he was on his deathbed and basically saying his final farewell. Luther responded with what was basically consisted of a prayer proclaiming his friend's healing. And after reading that prayer, Myconius was instantly healed and would actually go on to outlive Luther. But it was a very strange prayer. Here's what Martin Luther wrote. He said, "I command thee in the name of God to live, because I still have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this I'm praying, this is my will, may my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of God." Now, we have no problems with the first line of that prayer, because Luther basically commanded that Myconius live in the name of God. But when you go to the end of that prayer, here's what he's saying. He says, this healing, this is my will. May my will be done. It was Martin Luther's will that Myconius be healed. It almost was sacrilegious. It was almost arrogant. And except for one small fact that the Holy Spirit instantly healed Myconius on the spot, it almost sounded heretical. Now, as strange as this sounds, this is very similar to what Peter prayed. Because when Peter looked at that man, looked at that lame man, he said, "Hey, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you." He said, "What I have, I am going to give to you." And the Holy Spirit instantly healed that man. So he was doing basically the same thing. He was saying, "You know, what I have, I give to you." Like Martin Luther said, "This is my will that you be healed." And the man was instantly healed. And though we look at Luther's and Peter's statements as almost pretentious, I think it reflects our misunderstanding of our authority in Christ. In Luke 9, we read that Jesus gave his disciples authority and power. And we read in verse 9, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal." Now, but we need to understand this verse. We need to read it carefully, because it says that Jesus gave them power and authority. If I give you my Bible, it's your Bible. You own it. You can give it to anybody you want. And essentially, this is what Jesus was doing. He was giving his disciples authority, and he was giving his disciples power. It was now their authority. It was now their power. And they were shocked by what happened when they prayed. Now, here's the thing. They didn't have to, you know, run back to Jesus and say, do I have permission to heal this man? Or do I have permission to cast out this demon? They had the authority to do it. And they also had the power to do it. It's similar to police officers today. The government has given them authority to arrest people. They don't have to call back to the mayor or the premier's office and ask, do I have permission to arrest this guy for, you know, for whatever crime he was committing? You know, when a police officer runs around a crime being committed, he doesn't have to call his sergeant and say, you know, hey, Sarge, there's a guy in this bank. You know, he's got a gun and he's pointing it at people. And there's people lying on the floor and the tellers are handing over money. You know, I think he's robbing the place. Do you think I should go in there and stop him? And the sergeant says, you know, I don't know if you should or you know. Let me tell you, I'll call the captain to get back to you. And the sergeant calls back and says, well, you know, the captain doesn't know what to do, but he's left a message for the mayor and he promises that he'll get right back to us right away. They don't have to go through that procedure. They have personal authority to stop a crime when it's taking place. Police officers understand their authority. And what is equally curious, they're also trained in how specifically to enforce their authority, including training in how to use their voice inflection to command attention. And here's the thing. We are similar to police in that extent. In that sense, we have been given authority. We have been deputized with authority in the kingdom of God. But we need more than authority. We also need power. And that comes through being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus made a very strange statement when a woman with an issue of blood pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of Christ's garment and was instantly healed. Now, we need to understand what was going on here. Jesus was a celebrity at this point, and a huge crowd had gathered, and they were, you know, pushing and jostling, you maybe even trying to get Christ's autograph. I don't know what was going on. But they were jostling and they were touching him and everybody was pushing and shoving. And, you know, this is what was going on. And suddenly in the midst of this, Jesus said, someone touched me. The disciples were kind of, what do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody was touching you. How can you say that one person touched me? And then Jesus said, made this point. He said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that the power had left me, Luke 8, verse 46. Jesus said that the power flowed out of him, that this woman's faith had literally dragged the healing power out of Christ. You know, we have this funny idea about healing. We believe that healing falls out of heaven. You know, when we're looking to pray for somebody to get healed, you know, we have to get them under that little portal. There's a little hole up there, and we have to get them perfectly put under that portal. And if they're perfectly put under that portal, that healing virtue can drop out of the sky and heal them. And, you know, if we're kind of off a little bit, well, then the healing doesn't take place. So we have to move them over to this spot. Well, maybe we're in the right spot here. This is not what happens. Because, you see, Jesus was functioning at this point in his ministry. Jesus was functioning as totally fully man. He had set aside his deity. He was functioning as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was demonstrating to us that when people are healed, it comes out of us. It comes out of believers, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The healing literally pours out of us into other people. So when somebody is healed, the healing power of God is inside us. When we pray and people are healed, it's flowing out of us, which is why Peter said, what I have, I give to you, because he understood that it was his personal authority, and he understood that the healing was coming out of him. The Holy Spirit was healing this man through Peter's hand. But many of us, I think, are still functioning at the level of the Jewish exorcists that Luke described in Acts chapter 19, who were trying to hijack an outside authority in their attempts to, you know, exorcise demons, and ended up getting beaten up. Here's what Luke writes in verse 13. He said, then some itinerant Jewish exorcists, I mean, these guys sound like they're real winners here. Like, these guys sound like they're actually shysters. But he says, some Jewish, itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the name of Jesus, who Paul proclaims. They were saying the right thing. They were trying to cast these demons out in the name of Jesus, but it wasn't working. And because they hadn't been endued with power, and they also didn't understand and appreciate the authority that needs to come through Jesus Christ. And similarly, I think many of us pray like this. We pray eloquently in the Jesus name, but we don't fully understand the authority and the power that God has given us. If we don't understand our position in Christ, these prayers can be empty words. I think Hebrews 4 verse 6 describes a situation best when it states that we are to come boldly into the throne room of God for help in our time of need. In other words, we need to start acting like we belong in the throne room of God. When we pray, we should almost sound pretentious. We should almost sound arrogant. We should pray like someone who belongs in the throne room of God. In closing, I would like to mention two responsibilities here. First, in order for us to pray effectively, we need to understand our authority in God, our authority in Christ. And more importantly, we need to believe that we have received authority. We need to believe that we have been deputized. We need to believe that it's our personal authority. Like the police, we have personal authority. We have to believe that we've been deputized in the kingdom of God. But secondly, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where our power lies. But most of us think that they have nothing to do with the release of this power because it all falls upon the Holy Spirit. No, it doesn't. Part of it falls on us because the Holy Spirit wants to empower you, and we play an important role in this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to not quench the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4, 30, he tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. This means that despite being filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to quench the power of God inside us. The word quench literally means to put out the fire. In other words, you can literally hinder or impede the Holy Spirit's ability to heal other people through you. We have a very important role to play in all this. You have been deputized with authority. You have been empowered, and you need to own this and minister with Peter's attitude, what I have, I give to you.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.